If the message comes, I shall fly, I shall gallop away and you will see no more of me. That's why I am dressed up, so as to be ready. And where are you flying to? If you know too much, you'll get old too soon. Upon my word. You are highly delighted. I've never seen you like this before. You are dressed up as if you were going to a ball. Rakuten looked her up and down. Much you know about balls. And do you know much about them? I have seen a ball. The year before last, Kuzma Kuzmich's son was married and I looked on from the gallery. Do you suppose I want to be talking to you, Rakuten, while a prince like this is standing here? Such a visitor. Alishaw, my dear boy, I gaze at you and can't believe my eyes. Good heavens, can you have come here to see me? To tell you the truth, I never had a thought of seeing you and I didn't think that you would ever come and see me. Though this is not the moment now, I am awfully glad to see you. Sit down on the sofa, here? That's right, my bright young moon. I really can't take it in even now. Eh, Rakuten, if only you had brought him yesterday or the day before. But I am glad as it is. Perhaps it's better he has come now, at such a moment, and not the day before yesterday. She gaily sat down beside Alishaw on the sofa, looking at him with positive delight. And she really was glad, she was not lying when she said so. Her eyes glowed, her lips laughed, but it was a good, hearted merry laugh. Alishaw had not expected to see such a kind expression in her face. He had hardly met her till the day before, he had formed an alarming idea of her, and had been horribly distressed the day before by the spiteful and treacherous trick she had played on Katerina Ivanovna. He was greatly surprised to find her now altogether different from what he had expected. And, crushed as he was by his own sorrow, his eyes involuntarily rested on her with attention. Her whole manner seemed changed for the better since yesterday. There was scarcely any trace of that mawkish sweetness in her speech, of that voluptuous softness in her movements. Everything was simple and good, natured, her gestures were rapid, direct, confiding, but she was greatly excited. Dear me, how everything comes together too. Day. She chattered on again. And why I am so glad to see you, Alishaw, I couldn't say myself. If you ask me, I couldn't tell you. Come, don't you know why you're glad? Said Rakuten, grinning. You used to be always pestering me to bring him, you'd some object, I suppose. I had a different object once, but now that's over, this is not the moment. I say, I want you to have something nice. I am so good, natured now. You sit down, too, Rakuten. Why are you standing? You've sat down already? There's no fear of Rakuten's forgetting to look after himself. Look, Alishaw, he's sitting there opposite us, so offended that I didn't ask him to sit down before you. Ugh, Rakuten is such a one to take offense. Laughed Grushenka. Don't be angry, Rakuten, I'm kind too, Day. Why are you so depressed, Alishaw? Are you afraid of me? She peeped into his eyes with merry mockery. He's sad. The promotion has not been given, boomed Rakuten. His elder stinks. What? You are talking some nonsense, you want to say something nasty. Be quiet, you stupid. Let me sit on your knee, Alishaw. Like this. She suddenly skipped forward and jumped, laughing, on his knee, like a nestling kitten, with her right arm about his neck. I'll cheer you up, my pious boy. Yes, really, will you let me sit on your knee? You won't be angry? If you tell me, I'll get off. Alishaw did not speak. He sat afraid to move, he heard her words. If you tell me, I'll get off, but he did not answer. But there was nothing in his heart such as Rakuten, for instance, watching him malignantly from his corner, might have expected or fancied. The great grief in his heart swallowed up every sensation that might have been aroused, and, if only he could have thought clearly at that moment, he would have realized that he had now the strongest armor to protect him from every lust and temptation. Yet in spite of the vague irresponsiveness of his spiritual condition and the sorrow that overwhelmed him, he could not help wondering at a new and strange sensation in his heart. This woman, this dreadful woman, had no terror for him now, none of that terror that had stirred in his soul at any passing thought of woman. On the contrary, this woman, dreaded above all women, sitting now on his knee, holding him in her arms, aroused in him now a quite different, unexpected, peculiar feeling, a feeling of the intensest and purest interest without a trace of fear, of his former terror. That was what instinctively surprised him. "You've talked nonsense enough," cried Rakitin, "you'd much better give us some champagne. You owe it me, you know you do." "Yes, I really do. Do you know, Alishaw, I promised him champagne on the top of everything, if he'd bring you? I'll have some too. Fenya, Fenya, bring us the bottle Mitya left. Look sharp. Though I am so stingy, I'll stand a bottle, not for you, Rakitin, you're a toadstool, but he is a falcon. And though my heart is full of something very different, so be it, I'll drink with you. I long for some dissipation. But what is the matter with you? And what is this message, may I ask, or is it a secret?" Rakitin put in inquisitively, doing his best to pretend not to notice the snubs that were being continually aimed at him. "Ek, it's not a secret, and you know it, too," Grushenka said, in a voice suddenly anxious, turning her head towards Rakitin, and drawing a little away from Alishaw, though she still sat on his knee with her arm round his neck. "My officer is coming, Rakitin, my officer is coming. I heard he was coming, but is he so near? He is at Mokro now, he'll send a messenger from there, so he wrote, I got a letter from him today. I am expecting the messenger every minute." "You don't say so. Why at Mokro?" "That's a long story, I've told you enough. Mitya'll be up to something now, I say. Does he know or doesn't he?" "He know. Of course he doesn't. If he knew, there would be murder. But I am not afraid of that now, I am not afraid of his knife." "Be quiet, Rakitin, don't remind me of Dmitri Fyodorovich, he has bruised my heart. And I don't want to think of that at this moment. I can think of Alishaw here, I can look at Alishaw. Smile at me, dear, cheer up, smile at my foolishness, at my pleasure. Ah, he's smiling, he's smiling. How kindly he looks at me. And you know, Alishaw, I've been thinking all this time you were angry with me, because of the day before yesterday, because of that young lady. I was a cur, that's the truth. But it's a good thing it happened so. It was a horrid thing, but a good thing too." Grushenka smiled dreamily and a little cruel line showed in her smile. "Mitya told me that she screamed out that I ought to be flogged. I did insult her dreadfully. She sent for me, she wanted to make a conquest of me, to win me over with her chocolate. No, it's a good thing it did end like that." She smiled again. "But I am still afraid of your being angry." "Yes, that's really true," Rakitin put in suddenly with genuine surprise. "Alishaw, she is really afraid of a chicken like you." "He is a chicken to you, Rakitin. Because you've no conscience, that's what it is. You see, I love him with all my soul, that's how it is. Alishaw, do you believe I love you with all my soul?" "Ah, you shameless woman. She is making you a declaration, Alexei." "Well, what of it, I love him. And what about your officer? And the priceless message from Mokro? That is quite different. That's a woman's way of looking at it. Don't you make me angry, Rakitin." Grushenka caught him up hotly. "This is quite different. I love Alishaw in a different way. It's true, Alishaw, I had sly designs on you before. For I am a horrid, violent creature. But at other times I've looked upon you, Alishaw, as my conscience. I've kept thinking how anyone like that must despise a nasty thing like me. I thought that the day before yesterday, as I ran home from the young ladies. I have thought of you a long time in that way, Alishaw, and Mitya knows, I've talked to him about it. Mathieu understands. Would you believe it, I sometimes look at you and feel ashamed, utterly ashamed of myself. And how, and since when, I began to think about you like that, I can't say, I don't remember. Fenya came in and put a tray with an uncorked bottle and three glasses of champagne on the table. Here's the champagne, cried Rakitin. You're excited, Agrafena Alexandrovna, and not yourself. When you've had a glass of champagne, you'll be ready to dance. Eh, they can't even do that properly, he added, looking at the bottle. The old woman's poured it out in the kitchen and the bottle's been brought in warm and without a cork. Well, let me have some, anyway. He went up to the table, took a glass, emptied it at one gulp and poured himself out another. One doesn't often stumble upon champagne, he said, licking his lips. Now, Alishaw, take a glass, show what you can do. What shall we drink to? The gates of paradise. Take a glass, Grushenka, you drink to the gates of paradise, too. What gates of paradise? She took a glass, Alishaw took his, tasted it and put it back. No, I'd better not, he smiled gently. And you bragged? Cried Rakitin. Well, if so, I won't either, chimed in Grushenka, I really don't want any. You can drink the whole bottle alone, Rakitin. If Alishaw has some, I will. What touching sentimentality, said Rakitin tauntingly, and she's sitting on his knee, too. He's got something to grieve over, but what's the matter with you? He is rebelling against his god and ready to eat sausage. How so? His elder died today, Father Zosima, the saint. So Father Zosima is dead, cried Grushenka. Good God, I did not know. She crossed herself devoutly. Goodness, what have I been doing, sitting on his knee like this at such a moment? She started up as though in dismay, instantly slipped off his knee and sat down on the sofa. Alishaw bent a long wondering look upon her and a light seemed to dawn in his face. Rakitin, he said suddenly, in a firm and loud voice, don't taunt me with having rebelled against God. I don't want to feel angry with you, so you must be kinder, too. I've lost a treasure such as you have never had, and you cannot judge me now. You had much better look at her, do you see how she has pity on me? I came here to find a wicked soul, I felt drawn to evil because I was base and evil myself, and I've found a true sister, I have found a treasure, a loving heart. She had pity on me just now. Agrafena Alexandrovna, I am speaking of you. You've raised my soul from the depths. Alishaw's lips were quivering and he caught his breath. She has saved you, it seems, laughed Rakitin spitefully. And she meant to get you in her clutches, do you realize that? Stay, Rakitin. Grushenka jumped up. Hush, both of you. Now I'll tell you all about it. Hush, Alishaw, your words make me ashamed, for I am bad and not good, that's what I am. And you hush, Rakitin, because you are telling lies. I had the low idea of trying to get him in my clutches, but now you are lying, now it's all different. And don't let me hear anything more from you, Rakitin. All this Grushenka said with extreme emotion. They are both crazy, said Rakitin, looking at them with amazement. I feel as though I were in a madhouse. They're both getting so feeble they'll begin crying in a minute. I shall begin to cry, I shall, repeated Grushenka. He called me his sister and I shall never forget that. Only let me tell you, Rakitin, though I am bad, I did give away an onion. An onion? Hang it all, you really are crazy. Rakitin wondered at their enthusiasm. He was aggrieved and annoyed, though he might have reflected that each of them was just passing through a spiritual crisis such as does not come often in a lifetime. But though Rakitin was very sensitive about everything that concerned himself, he was very obtuse as regards the feelings and sensations of others, partly from his youth and inexperience, partly from his intense egoism. You see, Alishaw, Grushenka turned to him with a nervous laugh. I was boasting when I told Rakitin I had given away an onion, but it's not to boast I tell you about it. It's only a story, but it's a nice story. I used to hear it when I was a child from Matryona, my cook, who is still with me. It's like this. Once upon a time there was a peasant woman, and a very wicked woman she was. And she died and did not leave a single good deed behind. The devils caught her and plunged her into the lake of fire. So her guardian angel stood and wondered what good deed of hers he could remember to tell to God. She once pulled up an onion in her garden, said he, and gave it to a beggar woman. And God answered, "You take that onion then, hold it out to her in the lake, and let her take hold and be pulled out. And if you can pull her out of the lake, let her come to paradise, but if the onion breaks, then the woman must stay where she is." The angel ran to the woman and held out the onion to her. "Come," said he, "catch hold and I'll pull you out." He began cautiously pulling her out. He had just pulled her right out, when the other sinners in the lake, seeing how she was being drawn out, began catching hold of her so as to be pulled out with her. But she was a very wicked woman and she began kicking them. "I'm to be pulled out, not you. It's my onion, not yours." As soon as she said that, the onion broke. And the woman fell into the lake and she is burning there to this day. So the angel wept and went away. So that's the story, Alishaw. I know it by heart, for I am that wicked woman myself. I boasted to Rachite in that I had given away an onion, but to you I'll say, I've done nothing but give away one onion all my life. That's the only good deed I've done. Don't praise me, Alishaw, don't think me good. I am bad, I am a wicked woman, and you make me ashamed if you praise me. I must confess everything. Listen, Alishaw, I was so anxious to get hold of you that I promised Rachite and 25 rubles if he would bring you to me. Stay, Rakhitan, wait. She went with rapid steps to the table, opened a drawer, pulled out a purse and took from it a 25 ruble note. "What nonsense! What nonsense!" cried Rakhitan, disconcerted. "Take it." Rakhitan, "I owe it you, there's no fear of your refusing it, you asked for it yourself." And she threw the note to him. "Likely I should refuse it," boomed Rachitin, obviously abashed, but carrying off his confusion with a swagger. "That will come in very handy, fools are made for wise men's profit. And now hold your tongue, Rachitin, what I am going to say now is not for your ears. Sit down in that corner and keep quiet. You don't like us, so hold your tongue. What should I like you for?" Rachitin snarled, not concealing his ill humor. He put the 25 ruble note in his pocket and he felt ashamed at Alishaw's seeing it. He had reckoned on receiving his payment later, without Alishaw's knowing of it, and now, feeling ashamed, he lost his temper. Till that moment he had thought it discreet not to contradict Grushenka too flatly in spite of her snubbing, since he had something to get out of her. But now he, too, was angry. "One loves people for some reason, but what have either of you done for me? You should love people without a reason, as Alishaw does. How does he love you? How has he shown it, that you make such a fuss about it?" Grushenka was standing in the middle of the room. She spoke with heat and there were hysterical notes in her voice. "Hush, Rachitin, you know nothing about us. And don't dare to speak to me like that again. How dare you be so familiar? Sit in that corner and be quiet, as though you were my footman. And now, Alishaw, I'll tell you the whole truth, that you may see what a wretch I am. I am not talking to Rachitin, but to you. I wanted to ruin you, Alishaw, that's the holy truth, I quite meant to. I wanted to so much, that I bribed Rachitin to bring you. And why did I want to do such a thing? You knew nothing about it, Alishaw, you turned away from me. If you passed me, you dropped your eyes. And I've looked at you 100 times before today. I began asking everyone about you. Your face haunted my heart. He despises me, I thought, he won't even look at me. And I felt it so much at last that I wondered at myself for being so frightened of a boy. I'll get him in my clutches and laugh at him. I was full of spite and anger. Would you believe it? Nobody here dares talk or think of coming to Agrafena Alexandrovna with any evil purpose. Old Kuzma is the only man I have anything to do with here. I was bound and sold to him, Satan brought us together, but there has been no one else. But looking at you, I thought, I'll get him in my clutches and laugh at him. You see what a spiteful cur I am, and you called me your sister. And now that man who wronged me has come, I sit here waiting for a message from him. And do you know what that man has been to me? 5 years ago, when Kuzma brought me here, I used to shut myself up, that no one might have sight or sound of me. I was a silly slip of a girl, I used to sit here sobbing, I used to lie awake all night, thinking, where is he now, the man who wronged me? He is laughing at me with another woman, most likely. If only I could see him, if I could meet him again, I'd pay him out, I'd pay him out. At night I used to lie sobbing into my pillow in the dark, and I used to brood over it, I used to tear my heart on purpose and gloat over my anger. I'll pay him out, I'll pay him out. That's what I used to cry out in the dark. And when I suddenly thought that I should really do nothing to him, and that he was laughing at me then, or perhaps had utterly forgotten me, I would fling myself on the floor, melt into helpless tears, and lie there shaking till dawn. In the morning I would get up more spiteful than a dog, ready to tear the whole world to pieces. And then what do you think? I began saving money, I became hard-hearted, grew stout, grew wiser, would you say? No, no one in the whole world sees it, no one knows it, but when night comes on, I sometimes lie as I did 5 years ago, when I was a silly girl, clenching my teeth and crying all night, thinking, I'll pay him out, I'll pay him out. Do you hear? Well then, now you understand me. A month ago a letter came to me, he was coming, he was a widower, he wanted to see me. It took my breath away, then I suddenly thought, if he comes and whistles to call me, I shall creep back to him like a beaten dog. I couldn't believe myself. Am I so abject? Shall I run to him or not? And I've been in such a rage with myself all this month that I am worse than I was 5 years ago. Do you see now, Alishaw, what a violent, vindictive creature I am? I have shown you the whole truth. I played with Mitya to keep me from running to that other. Hush, Rakitin, it's not for you to judge me, I am not speaking to you. Before you came in, I was lying here waiting, brooding, deciding my whole future life, and you can never know what was in my heart. Yes, Alishaw, tell your young lady not to be angry with me for what happened the day before yesterday. Nobody in the whole world knows what I am going through now, and no one ever can know. For perhaps I shall take a knife with me today, I can't make up my mind. And at this tragic phrase Grushenka broke down, hid her face in her hands, flung herself on the sofa pillows, and sobbed like a little child. Alishaw got up and went to Rakitin. Mizha, he said, don't be angry. She wounded you, but don't be angry. You heard what she said just now? You mustn't ask too much of human endurance, one must be merciful. Alishaw said this at the instinctive prompting of his heart. He felt obliged to speak and he turned to Rakitin. If Rakitin had not been there, he would have spoken to the air. But Rakitin looked at him ironically and Alishaw stopped short. You were so primed up with your elders reading last night that now you have to let it off on me, Alexei, man of God, said Rakitin, with a smile of hatred. Don't laugh, Rakitin, don't smile. Don't talk of the dead, he was better than anyone in the world, cried Alishaw, with tears in his voice. I didn't speak to you as a judge but as the lowest of the judged. What am I beside her? I came here seeking my ruin, and said to myself, what does it matter? In my cowardliness, but she, after 5 years in torment, as soon as anyone says a word from the heart to her, it makes her forget everything, forgive everything, in her tears. The man who has wronged her has come back. He sends for her and she forgives him everything, and hastens joyfully to meet him, and she won't take a knife with her. She won't. No, I am not like that. I don't know whether you are, Ms. Ha, but I am not like that. It's a lesson to me. She is more loving than we. Have you heard her speak before of what she has just told us? No, you haven't. If you had, you'd have understood her long ago. And the person insulted the day before yesterday must forgive her, too. She will, when she knows. And she shall know. This soul is not yet at peace with itself, one must be tender with. There may be a treasure in that soul. Alishaw stopped, because he caught his breath. In spite of his ill, Humarakiton looked at him with astonishment. He had never expected such a tirade from the gentle Alishaw. She's found someone to plead her cause. Why, are you in love with her? Agrafena Alexandrovna, our monk's really in love with you, you've made a conquest. He cried, with a coarse laugh. Grushenka lifted her head from the pillow and looked at Alishaw with a tender smile shining on her tear-stained face. Let him alone, Alishaw, my cherub, you see what he is not a person for you to speak to. Mihail Osipovich, she turned to Rakitin, I meant to beg your pardon for being rude to you, but now I don't want to. Alishaw, come to me, sit down here. She beckoned to him with a happy smile. That's right, sit here. Tell me, she took him by the hand and peeped into his face, smiling, tell me, do I love that man or not? The man who wronged me, do I love him or not? Before you came, I lay here in the dark, asking my heart whether I loved him. Decide for me, Alishaw, the time has come, it shall be as you say. Am I to forgive him or not? But you have forgiven him already, said Alishaw, smiling. Yes, I really have forgiven him, Grushenka murmured thoughtfully. What an abject heart! To my abject heart! She snatched up a glass from the table, emptied it at a gulp, lifted it in the air and flung it on the floor. The glass broke with a crash. A little cruel line came into her smile. Perhaps I haven't forgiven him, though, she said, with a sort of menace in her voice, and she dropped her eyes to the ground as though she were talking to herself. Perhaps my heart is only getting ready to forgive. I shall struggle with my heart. You see, Alishaw, I've grown to love my tears in these 5 years. Perhaps I only love my resentment, not him. Well, I shouldn't care to be in his shoes, hissed Rakitin. Well, you won't be, Rakitin, you'll never be in his shoes. You shall black my shoes, Rakitin, that's the place you are fit for. You'll never get a woman like me. And he won't either, perhaps. Won't he? Then why are you dressed up like that? Said Rakitin, with a venomous sneer. Don't taunt me with dressing up, Rakitin, you don't know all that is in my heart. If I choose to tear off my finery, I'll tear it off at once, this minute, she cried in a resonant voice. You don't know what that finery is for, Rakitin. Perhaps I shall see him and say, have you ever seen me look like this before? He left me a thin, consumptive cry, baby of 17. I'll sit by him, fascinate him and work him up. Do you see what I am like now? I'll say to him, well, and that's enough for you, my dear sir, there's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. That may be what the finery is for, Rakitin. Grushenka finished with a malicious laugh. I'm violent and resentful, Alishaw, I'll tear off my finery, I'll destroy my beauty, I'll scorch my face, slash it with a knife, and turn beggar. If I choose, I won't go anywhere now to see anyone. If I choose, I'll send Kuzma back all he has ever given me, tomorrow, and all his money and I'll go out charing for the rest of my life. You think I wouldn't do it, Rakitin, that I would not dare to do it? I would, I could do it directly, only don't exasperate me. And I'll send him about his business, I'll snap my fingers in his face, he shall never see me again. She uttered the last words in an hysterical scream, but broke down again, hid her face in her hands, buried it in the pillow and shook with sobs. Rakitin got up. It's time we were off, he said. It's late. We shall be shut out of the monastery. Grushenka leapt up from her place. Surely you don't want to go, Alishor? She cried, in mournful surprise.